The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Yes, it does. It settles right in your soul.
Amen.
And it is the soul of Jefferson.
It is.
It is.
There you are, Janet.
I'm here.
Hi.
Hello.
Good morning, Janet Chandler. Good morning, Mr. Winster.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
We're here with a whole herd of people. We're here with Patrick Jones. How are you doing, Patrick?
Hey, very good. This is the first time I've been on the air in 4 years that I'm not an elected official, so I can say a few things differently now than I could before. So that's
you can say whatever you want, buddy, as long as you don't use a colorful metaphor.
Well,
because that's when they cut us off.
Yeah, you can say FPP.
You can say whatever you want.
FCC will get us, so just be careful on those.
And Chris Kellstrom, how are you, Supervisor?
Good morning.
And we have Lori with us. Hi, Lori. She's waving. And, well, this is going to be an interesting show today. First of all, we're broadcasting live from downtown Reading, KCNR Studios, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, and 1460 AM. We are your talk radio. We're also streaming live at 530. We will be taking questions at 530-605-4567, 605-4567, and we are streaming live on KCNR1460.com. We want to go over some things today because there's been some misnomers about the jurisdiction of the Board of Supervisors. And I think so that we can move ahead just as a county, we need to kind of get some things clarified. So I've got questions for you two guys. And the first one I've got is, do you have the jurisdiction to fire the ROV officer or not?
No.
Chris?
Nope.
All right. You heard it here. There is no jurisdiction. Now, the way I understand it, once you selected him because his predecessor had retired, doesn't he assume all the, not just responsibility, but everything that goes along with being an elected official? Isn't that the way that works?
It was just like when we appointed a sheriff. When we appointed Eric Mangrini, or the previous board appointed Eric Mangrini, he was an elected official at that point, just as was Johnson after him, as is Toler now.
We can tar and feather Toler, however. That is allowed within our charter. We are a charter county now. And then we can also run people out of town on a rail. That's a term that's not used very often, but we do have a rail.
Not much anymore.
But so there's certain things we can and can't do. So, yeah, and obviously I've been a little bit critical of Thomas Toler. He has not done what he said he would do. So I am disappointed with his performance so far. And but once that appointment was made, he is, at that point, in essence, an elected official.
Yes, that's right.
And so...
enjoys all the privileges and everything else of it.
Yeah, and we really couldn't do anything else under the law. We had a resignation, a retirement, which left that position open, and then the board must appoint. Now, if we were close enough to an election, we could have done that. But I believe it says we have to appoint, in a timely manner. And so didn't have a lot of option on that. And so moving forward, there will be an election for that position coming up in about a year and a half. And I'm sure that's going to be one that's going to be hard fought for.
Chris, do you have any comments on that?
I have no comments. That was Kevin Cry kind of tied our hands on that. But I will point out somebody seconded that motion. I won't say who it was, but they may be in this room.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, the second question I have.
Well, and let's talk about that.
Well, no, we can go into that in a minute. I just want to get my questions out of the way, then you guys can feel free, okay? Because these are questions that people asked me about on Monday after you both spoke in front of the courthouse. So I got inundated with calls. I even got calls from Kelly Frost from KQMS about questions he had had, and that's why I'm doing this. So I want to kind of get it out of the way if I can. Now, when you certify an election, is that simply what teeth does that really have with the Board of Supervisors when you certify the election? Is that something where you can actually change something legally there?
No.
Please explain that.
It's purely ceremonial. They certify the election. They send the results to Secretary of State. They bring them up to us, and it's basically ceremonial.
When you say that, you're talking about the ROV?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so Thomas Toller, he certified the results of the election and moved it forward to the Secretary of State. It is a little bit unknown because no one, to my knowledge, no board has not certified. Now, we did certify this under duress, and so that was the language that we used.
That was duly noted in the certification?
Yeah, and so, okay. Is there any legal standing to that? I don't think so. I would have liked to, and I think Supervisor Kelstrom is the same mindset, would have not to certify this because it did come before the board. And then let's see what happens. Let's see if that does anything.
Why didn't you just not do it?
I made the motion. I think Supervisor Kelstrom, you seconded it, did you?
I don't remember.
I think we seconded it, but it didn't pass.
Didn't have that third vote.
We didn't have the third vote.
And a couple weeks later, I went and was totally unrelated, but I went and got my passport and went through the process because our county clerk does that. And talking to Joanna, she said they used to not even do that. They used to not bring it before the board because it doesn't matter because it's already done deal, sent to the Secretary of State, and the board really has no say in it. So, you know, when the ceremony started, I don't know, but she said years ago they used to not even do it. So.
Okay.
In light of the court case that we've had in Huntington Beach, where Huntington Beach now has the jurisdiction and can pass an ordinance to have voter ID, there's a couple of things about that. When I read it, it's for a municipal vote, which I would think that means they have to separate the ballots. Is voter ID something that is feasible? Is it something that where we would have to separate the ballots? And does it work in federal elections as far as the jurisdiction of the county being able to do that in an ordinance?
Go ahead. Well, everybody that wants us to add that to the charter, go ahead and look up SB 1174. This bill would prohibit a local government from enacting it or enforcing any charter provisions, ordinance, or regulation requiring a person to present identification for the purpose of voting or submitting a ballot at any polling place, vote center, or other location where ballots are cast or submitted as specified. So, you know, once again, maybe Huntington Beach found a small loophole and was able to exploit it, but they've already are closing up the loophole. So, you know, this state beats us at everything, single thing we did. And, you know, I was frustrated on January 6th when I went down there because, you know, once again, it's like everybody's coming to us, you need to do this, you need to do that. I'm sorry, California beats us to the punch every single time, you know. Supervisor, former Supervisor Jones and myself, we voted, and Kevin voted to get rid of Dominion voting machines. I mean, it was nationwide news.
Sure.
You know, and then while they were in the process of doing a hand tabulation system, they passed a law that said, sorry, you can't hand count votes. Even though you did it for 150 years, you can't anymore. So, again, you know, we battle, and it's frustrating for me, you know, that, you know, we're up there taking bullets and meantime getting stabbed in the back by our own people. So that's the way I feel.
Okay, well, if you have a question or comment, the phone number is 530-605-4567. What about mandating 100% hand count verification audit on election results? And you could do that at maybe the precinct level. Is that something that is feasible or a thought process you guys have?
I had county council explain that last board meeting because, once again, even though Monday I tried to tell the crowd what some things that they could do, that they could legally do to make voting better in the future. And, of course, here we go with the speaker saying, oh, we need to do 100% hand verification and everything else. So I had county council address that. It's 1%. You do 1%. There was a pilot program that some jurisdictions got involved with that where they could do more, but we did not sign up for that. So we are stuck with that.
Well, and I guess I would differ a little bit on that. So in the very last 2024 primary, you do a 1% hand count, right, and as an audit. But it doesn't say you can't do more. And, in fact, Joanna Franciscott did on the Kevin Cry recall, she did 100%. She counted 100% on her own. So
this was a hand count she did.
She did a hand count. She did 100% hand count on that particular race because the law simply states that you must do at least 1%. Sometimes you could do 5 or 10%, but you could do 100. She chose on her own accord to do 100%.
So the precedent has been set.
Well, it was already the law. It was already there.
Right, but that's the practice that they chose to do in that office. Now, so when they say they can't do it, they're lying because they just did it on Kevin's race.
They did it, and we could do it again. So a lot of the issues, and I recognize Supervisor Kellstrom's frustration in this issue, is now you're going to the answers, more of the answers are going to lie with a high-quality ROV as opposed to the board.
Right.
And if we had an ROV that was willing to listen to the public, have a transparent election, and not treat the public as if we're hostile, would go a long way to solve problems. And there's a lot of things in that office that can be done. For example, when they run batches of roughly about 100 ballots through the DR-2140 Canon scanners, so as ballots come in, they take roughly about 100, and it could be 92, it could be 104, but they run a stack roughly through at one time. And then there's a batch number, and then there's the amount of ballots that were processed, and that goes on to the Secretary of State in a log. Mm-hmm. But the county doesn't check it. Hmm. The county never has.
They don't check the log?
They don't. No, you can look at the log, but they don't write down the batch number. They don't write down how many ballots to check it with the Secretary of State's log. And so,
what?
Yeah, and they don't do it. They never have. Now, the public here has done that and has noted flaws and inaccuracies. And, of course, you take that to court, and they will not allow that evidence into court.
Why is that?
Because we have crap for judges, to be honest. That's what we have. Judges are deathly afraid to take a look at this evidence because the only result that you could do from that is to decertify that election. There is fraud going on, but if you don't look at it, then you don't see it. Now, how would the public possibly know whether I'm saying the truth or not? Well, get yourself down to the ROV and watch the process. You can. I did, and I went down and I watched the process, and I saw lots of mistakes. I saw illegal things happening within the ROV that defy election code. I saw people in a break room handling ballots where they would not allow observation. That's a direct election law violation that this last ROV tolerated.
So what do we do as a Board of Supervisors? What can the Board of Supervisors do to remedy the situation?
Well, their hands are tied. It's just like when you have a poor performance of an elected DA,
sure.
The Board of Supervisors is going to have a hard time putting pressure on that person to square themselves away. Same with the sheriff, same with the ROV. So those elected positions, the public has to hold them accountable at the ballot box, which I do believe will happen this next go-around with the ROV.
Well, the Board of Supervisors controls the purse strings, correct?
We do.
Okay.
Patrick.
But at the same time, by law, the ROV must conduct the election. And so if we fail to provide enough financial assistance, now we're in violation of an election law.
Patrick, you mentioned tar and feathering and running out of town on a rail. What would be the practical legal methods of putting pressure on Toller?
It's not practical to tar and feather any longer. Feathers are hard to come by, and we would need a lot. And I don't even know if tar is legal in California anymore. We could put some molasses or something. That would be legal and probably have the same effect. So it's just, obviously today, when you have a person in office that, let's take Leonard Modi, for example. The public was unhappy with his performance, and what did they do?
They recalled him.
They gathered up and they recalled him. And so the public has the ability to put people in and take people out. I've been elected. I've been unelected several times. And so you're in, you're out. That's how it works. And I think that's what's going to need to happen. I do believe there's going to be big changes within the ROV's office. I believe we'll be able to move them out of the current downtown location where we're paying $15,000 leasing. I'm hoping that they will move into the old courthouse, and I'm hoping that it'll be completely different and open. The process of counting ballots is a very public thing. It should be. They should engage the public. It's how you restore trust with the public when you engage them and not treat them as hostile. Because I can tell you, by going into the ROV's office this last election in the fall, you could just feel the pressure in that room that I was not welcome there. In fact, one of the election workers there called me and the CEO of our county a vulture because we were watching a process that we can't barely see what's going on because they've got us so far away and we're actually outside of even the room where certain events are happening.
I want to get Chris's take on something here you just said. And that is moving them to the old courthouse. Is that something that the current Board of Supervisors has in mind? Has there been discussions that you can talk about where you would move them and if that's a good place?
I haven't had those discussions, no.
Okay. Now, the other question I've got now is a lot of people are now calling for the ROV to be selected since we're a charter county. Now, that would take a measure, and people would vote on that, similar to what they did in the city of Reading years ago. Now, the selection process, I mean, there's the side that says, well, if you select them, then the Board of Supervisors really has jurisdiction over the hiring and firing of that person. However, what if we get a bunch of people that we don't like, that we elect, that we don't like what they're doing, or one side does and one side doesn't? I mean, I would imagine you guys are still for keeping this an elected position, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, when the charter was being discussed, some of the people that opposed the charter made mention of this very thing. And if anything, I would like to add, I think taking away the public's ability to vote on a particular elected position would be extremely bad. That's a bad idea. The public should have a right to put somebody in to take that person out. Boards come and go, and depending on the board, I obviously the board represents the people, but I would rather see that. In fact, on the charter, I was even willing to separate the corner away from the sheriff and have that again as an elected position as it was in the past. Now, I've talked to the sheriff, and he feels it's better to leave it as it is. But again, I would rather give the public more opportunity to vote on a particular thing than less. And so that I doubt this current board would ever want to put that in a measure for the public because I think it would fail, and the public certainly isn't going to take the time to gather signatures to put it in a measure as well. I think the fact of the matter is we don't know everybody, and when you put somebody in a position, you're not always sure how they're going to be. And I had a great hopes that Thomas Toller would be a really good ROV and change the culture from what we had. That didn't happen. The culture is exactly the same as it was before, and it's wrong. It's treating the public as if we're hostile. We're not. In fact, what a difference an ROV can make in an office. It really can solve the problems. And this was what I struggled with Kathy Allen. Had many meetings with her. They usually got fairly heated. And I got to the point where I said, you know, we have not established trust with the public. You know, we're losing trust all over the nation. It's obvious. And she goes, it's not my job to do that. And it is. And it's easy to do because we want everybody to take part in the process of taking a look at our elections. And once those ballots are out of those envelopes, that's a very public process that we're being robbed of at the moment.
I think a lot of people hold that position. And I'm almost done with my last thing here that I want to go ahead.
Oh, you're still asking questions?
Well,
would you hurry up?
I think they're important only because we can gripe about this all we want. But finding a solution to these things is what we need to do.
Okay.
And if we have people who are on the Board of Supervisors who are standing up for most of us and standing up for the right thing, do we attack them on things they have no jurisdiction over? So
no,
that's why I think
not.
This is important.
Of course not.
Okay,
yeah.
So I'm going to read this off really quick, and then you guys got the ball. Okay, how about there was an ordinance that was suggested on his own dime by Alex Haberbusch, and I'm going to read it, and then I want your intake on it. The ordinance would say it mandates 100% hand verification audit of election results conducted at the precinct level for all precincts. That's number one. Number two, it prohibits the board from certifying the election results until the hand verification audit and machine tabulations reconcile with a certain percentage variance. The election official will be better equipped to determine the level of the discrepancy if it falls within the normal parameters of the reconciliation process. And thirdly, establishes that the manual hand counting process at the precinct level shall not serve as an official count, but rather a reconciliation tool to verify the accuracy of the machine tabulations, therefore reinforcing the voters' confidence, which is what we're trying to do here, and ensuring transparency in the electoral process. So out of that, is that ordinance something that A, would be within jurisdiction, and B, would be something that maybe could solve this whole thing?
So has he passed this ordinance anywhere else? Has he gotten this on the books anywhere else?
I have no idea.
Probably not. So my suggestion to him would be go to our county council. Our county council, and I know there's naysayers, but our county council is the best county council this county has ever had. He's the most conservative county council we've ever had, and he will not let the board go outside the parameters of the law and get in trouble. So if he can bring that ordinance to our county council's office, let the county council's office go over it. If it's something that's legal and within, you know, the boundaries of the law, then we could bring that forward. But, you know, I can sit there and write an ordinance of, you know, hey, I want hand tabulation.
Yeah,
I want
it's
if it's not legal to do it, then it's not legal to
That's
do
exactly
it. Sounds
right
on paper. But, you know, get that to our county council's office, have our county council go through it. If it's within the parameters of law, then bring it to the board.
You know, and so I really like Alex, and I appreciate him and what he's done for Shasta County. He's been here many times, and he's probably as smart on elections and election law as anybody that I know. So he is correct partially in that we can do 100% of an audit, which Joanna's already proven to do. So that, but that was the decision the ROV made. The problem with the board creating an ordinance to do that is that the running of the operations, the day-to-day operations, the board has no jurisdiction. We cannot tell the ROV how to run the day-to-day operations. And so I think an ordinance to that a point that to that effect would be in violation of an election law. It's up to the ROV to do that. The ROV in the past, the acting ROV, has done that. The current one, to my knowledge, I'm not sure if the new one knows much of anything, to be honest. I'm super disappointed with some of the simple things that could have easily been done. And, you know, in fact, when they were doing the accuracy and logic test, which obviously failed because we had 50% of our ballots that couldn't scan, but yet when they did the accuracy and logic test, everything was fine. I go down there, and they've got us roped off to the point where I can't see a single ballot.
Wow.
And it's like, Tom, this is exactly what we had talked about. This, if you just walk there and look at it, you can see that I can't see the ballots. And so why are you putting me at a distance that's in violation of election law? I have to have meaningful observation. I called Chair Cry at the time and said, you need to get Tom down there. And this is the kinds of things that he needs to fix. Why am I having to ask this, right? This is the job of the ROV, and we talked about this with Tom many times. So Kevin went down there, talked to a supervisor. They moved the ropes back a little bit, but still not enough. And again, I talked to Chair Cry, and I said, Chair, it's not your responsibility to do this. This is the responsibility of the ROV. He's not here. He should be in this room right now. I'm in this room, and he's not here, and he's not doing his job. So from day one, he allowed the current administration, if you will, their current employees, to just simply do what they have been doing and treating people as if, you know, why are we being roped off like cattle?
So he didn't walk around the building and step in and stand in the points of observation to see if he could actually see what staff was doing.
Right, and we, you know, and
something basic that you should do.
And it wouldn't have been so bad if we hadn't talked to him about it before.
Right.
Before the appointment, I had at least four meetings with him.
Wow.
And they lasted for hours, you know, letting us know, you know, and we showed, you know, some of the problems. And again, this is election law. You have to allow people to have meaningful observation, which means I want to see every mark on every ballot. You know, and there's no reason why that can't be done.
So they're willing to violate that part of the law, but they're not willing to do hand count.
Correct. And, I mean, every step of the way, when they were running ballots.
Well, how do we make them?
So
that's what we're talking about
good
here.
Good question, Terry, because that's something I've been trying to pound into the narrative out there. It's like there's things we can do right now to make our elections better in the future, and hand tabulation and all these other things and voter ID is not within the boundaries of the law. But one thing we could do is that exact point right there. Everybody complained about the observation process last election. Everybody complained about it. We heard it over and over and over and over again. Well, guess what? Now's the time to make an appointment with Tom Toller, go down there, see what can be done, diagram the office, come up with some suggestions, and change it. I mean, it can be done. You know, Patrick should have some extra time on his hands, and now maybe he'll lead that chart. But, you know, another thing you can do is minimize the number of drop boxes. You know, I don't remember. I don't remember what the numbers are, but it's like 1 for 40,000 voters or something.
We can go to 4, I think.
Yeah, I think we can get it down to 4 in the entire county. Well, that's something we can do within the boundaries of the law. Let's do it. Let's work on that. You know, quit spinning our wheels on this pie in the sky hopeful thing. And again, trust me, I would love voter ID. I would love same day voting. I would love no mailed out ballots except for provisional. I would love all that stuff. I would love hand tabulation. But they beat us to the punch. So there's things we can do now to fix some things in the future. Let's work on those.
With that, we have to go to a break. Very lively discussion. And you two have been amazing here because you've given us clarity on what can be done and what really can't be done. We can complain or get some things done. It sounds like, Chris, that's a good idea. Patrick, great, great input. So with that, we'll go off to our break. If you want to call in, it's 605-4567, 530-605-4567, and time has come.
451.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history. It is with great honor and pride that we have been able to support several amazing local businesses like these over the years.
Thanks to the Redding Rancheria for their support of the Kiwanis Basket Dam Club Food for Kids program. We send 185 bags of food home every Friday. They're instrumental in helping us.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria, for supporting Tree of Life International Charter School. Gracias por todo su apoyo.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria!
The Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce wants to thank the Redding Rancheria. They have sponsored our Friday night in the park for more than 18 years, and we really appreciate it.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
In a hurricane, just with a broken frame.
Are we back on? Okay, we're back. All right, I have a question. Okay, there it goes. So when the insubordination issues that are there with all those emails and everything else, why has Toler not addressed those?
Well, so I don't know if that's insubordination. He's an elected official, so it's a little different.
Not for him, for staff.
So you're talking about the ROV staff.
ROV staff. Why has he not addressed those issues that were blatant when they're going behind? They're going behind the board's back and doing everything else, and that was part of Kathy, that was part of Laura.
Right, but again, you're talking to a former supervisor. You would need to be addressing the ROV on these questions, right?
Right, but do you guys have any inkling as to why he hasn't acted on any of those things?
He's been very defensive and supportive. He's been defensive of Hart. He's been supportive of Runbeck. I've asked questions.
Right.
For example, on the 2024 primary, we had 22 or 23 time changes where the clock was changing from seconds to 30 seconds to 1 minute, exactly 1 minute forward and back, to an hour, 6 hours, 12 hours, 23, 24 hours back and forth. Obviously, it's been manipulated. Eight of those occurred during the night. And so I asked to have a representative from Hart explain how this corrupted time log could happen. And I was on the phone, and so I called Hart and talked to a representative. Chair Cry called Hart and talked to a representative. The CEO, Rickert, called Hart and talked to a representative. And then we asked Tom, hey, did you make contact with Hart? And he goes, no, I haven't gotten through to him yet. That's funny. We all got through to Hart this morning. And we were on a conference call at that time.
Boy.
So then we had a conference call with Chair Cry, myself, and Tom Toler. And what do you know, during that conference call, Hart called Tom Toler, and he told us to, hey, hang on. So I could hear the conversation with Hart, a representative from Hart, mm-hmm. and Tom Toler. And I'm on the phone, but I can hear the conversation. And what Hart is saying is, hey, Supervisor Jones is called, and the other supervisors and the CEO, and we don't want to talk to supervisors. We don't want to talk to CEOs. We just want to talk to you. And that was the sense. And Tom should have said, well, why? Why would you want to just talk to me? The supervisors oversee the elections, and the CEO is the top officer of the county. Why would you not want to talk to him? He didn't say that. And he's been defending Hart and Runbeck with their bad behavior. Now, before I left office, the board approved to send two letters to this next administration, which will come here shortly, two letters to the United States Department of Justice to look into these two matters. And which one is Runbeck and two is Hart. And we had a whole system of problems with Runbeck when these ballots couldn't be counted.
Okay, so then essentially he has turned himself into being the gatekeeper, and he drank the Kool-Aid. So that's the way I see it as a private citizen out here who's voting here in Shasta County forever. That's what I'm seeing with all the drama that's going on and no action. So that's the way
I mean,
I
he's
see
just
it.
Simply allowed the same processes.
Yeah. We still got 2 years with him.
Right.
Right. Now, the second thing I was going to ask about is that on the court steps the other day when you guys were out there talking, there were people saying things. Are they just misinformed, or do they not understand the processes that you guys have been articulating over and over and over again? Are they just not paying attention? What the heck's going on?
Well, I mean, I spoke there, and I said our elections aren't fixed. I mean, we have a ways to go, and so I think everybody there felt the same thing. And mainly that was a J6, you know, situation
where it
was January 6th, and we're, you know, we're not forgetting about the 1,500 people that are incarcerated illegally in this country.
Right.
So that was the main thing that we did. Some election issues did come up. I'm frustrated. It took a lot to get to have the ability to appoint a new ROV. Mm-hmm. To me, that was a very important thing, and it turned out bad. Supervisor Garmin, former Supervisor Tim Garmin, turned out to be another disappointment, right? And I've seen it on my years on city council. People get elected and then turn out to be big disappointments. And all of a sudden, somewhere in their term, they change, Mm-hmm. And you know, and they teach this stuff when you go to the League of Cities and the League of Counties. They teach you to, it's okay to do those things, you know. And it's frustrating. We have to fix it. We're going to fix it. It won't be that long. Literally, races for the primary in 2026 will start in about 6 months.
Right.
And campaigns will be gearing up. Mm-hmm. People will be coming forward. Speeches will be made. Promises will be...
And the promises, we have to have them kept, and that's the big issue. I mean, you can do whatever you want, whether it's a machine or not a machine. You can elect somebody, and they can lie to you. With that, we do have a caller who's been hanging on for a while. Laura, how are you?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to recommend that we could do a charter amendment that we hand count ballots in Shasta County at the precincts in one day, and the supervisors can do this with the stroke of the pen. And it would appear on the
Laura, just for clarification, I'm not only going to interrupt you for clarification. Where does it say the Board of Supervisors can do that? What law is that?
It has to do with the initiative process, and it's where you get signatures by the public. You have to get 10% of the electorate who voted in the last gubernatorial race.
So we'd have a petition, and then we would have
an
initiative.
It's like a recall process.
Gotcha. Okay.
So... the supervisors can put that on the agenda, vote on it, and then it would appear on the next ballot, the same way they did with Measure P and Q, which just tanked because it was so poorly written. But they could do the same thing with hand counting. And if the supervisors decide not to, the citizens can use this petition initiative to do it themselves.
Okay, well, Chris wants to weigh in on that. Laura, it's a conversation, and Chris wants to weigh in on what you just said. Go ahead.
Have you looked up SB 1174?
No, you just mentioned that earlier in the show, and that was specifically about voter ID. I'm talking about an initiative process. This is something that is not restricted by that. And we saw in Huntington Beach that the court actually ruled in favor of Huntington Beach over the state of California on that. So we need supervisors, and I hats off to Patrick Jones. He has been excellent in this area, but we need supervisors that are willing and able to go against the state, because we're not just going to roll over. We believe in our sovereignty, and we're going to fight for that. Whether the supervisors get on board or not, that's their choice. But as far as Chris, you mentioned that we're not allowed, you as a supervisor, is not allowed to affect the day-to-day operations of the ROV. Well, then how will we be able to change anything in the realm of observation of future elections if we're not allowed to affect the day-to-day operations? I'm hopeful that we can do this at the county level, and if not, Trump also has plans to do something at the national level in this area. So I think that we will get it done with or without the supervisor's support.
That was good information on the initiative process. And maybe you can just clarify. So we're trying to clarify something else on Huntington Beach. And I know we have Rich on the line. You stay with us. Just want to get this clarification here. In Huntington Beach, the way I understand it, they must be separating the ballot somehow, because it talks about municipal elections. It doesn't say anything about federal elections in their voter ID situation. Do you have any more clarification on that?
Well, I don't. I believe they are actually moving forward. The law does not become effective until 2026, so I don't think they've had a chance to put it in practice yet, but it was upheld by the courts. Bonta wanted to take them to court and say, you're not allowed to do this, and the judge said, actually, you are allowed to do this. Of course, they're going to appeal it, but still.
Great. Well, Laura, thank you so much for your call, and we have another call on our line. Rich, what say you?
Hello. Good morning. Good morning.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
Yeah, there's always a delay. So I'll go as quick as I can. I have a few items.
Well, we want to do, just give us stuff specifically, because we have guests on here. If you're going to ask questions, that's great. Go ahead.
I have questions and I have comments.
Okay.
So we can get the case documents from Huntington Beach, where they won their voter ID initiative, where the voters voted for that. Let's grab those documents. Those are public documents. Let's grab those, study them, And Huntington Beach's charter status is what I believe was the key for them winning that case. And, gee, I think we're a charter now, are we not? And, you know, I'm sorry, Chris, that you keep talking about, well, the state passes laws and then we can't do things. Well, that's correct.
Well, for clarification, that isn't what he said. What he said is how he interprets. He actually offered some things to do. So, you know, again, if you've got some questions or something, have you thought about getting those documents? Or do you have an access to get that? Because I think that we, the people, are probably going to have to get that information and then pass it along to the supervisors. What do you think?
Well, we have board of supervisors and clerk of the board, and we have county councils. How about they can do that?
Okay.
So, you know, if we don't get Taller out, and by the way, in a 5-minute search, I found 3 counties in California that have appointed registrars: San Diego, Alameda, and Riverside. And that was only a 5-minute search. I would likely find quite a few more.
There's 18.
And great. And you guys are making assumptions when you say, well, the voters may not want, you know, the registrar to be appointed. You're making assumptions. The election arena.
I don't think anyone said that. We just talked about the difference between what would happen with someone who was voted in as opposed to someone who's selected. Go ahead.
Yeah, but you talked about the city of Reading attempting some kind of an election.
They attempted that, and the people went ahead and they voted on it. So that was the way you do it. You have to put a measure out, and they voted against doing that and wanting to elect them. Go ahead.
That was not an election official. That arena changes drastically. The public is getting increasingly exponentially frustrated at our lack of a fair and transparent election. So you're comparing an apple to an orange with regards to this item that happened 10 years ago. Apples and oranges. I think the people do want our board of supervisors, as in other counties, to have an immediate control over a bad registrar or voter. And here's the key. In a constitutional republic, even though our current registrar is elected, it is, in essence, a centralized control of the elections process by one person. And in our constitutional republic, when you decentralize control to the lowest level possible, so if we move the registrar to appointed by the board of supervisors, that will decentralize control, and the board can have immediate effect on a bad registrar.
Rich, that's not accurate. What is accurate is the fact that the ROV officer that is selected means he can be hired or fired by the board of supervisors. So that would have to have a board of supervisors who are willing to say this guy isn't doing the job. But again, the crux of this, we do have another caller, but the crux of this is that it would go to the people to vote whether they want to have the ROV officer selected or elected. That's the bottom line. I don't think anybody has heartburn over that. But we do have another caller on the line. I've got to get to the other caller. Okay, thank you.
And
Mark Kent. Mark, are you there?
Clint.
Oh, who do we have? Kent?
Clint Curtis.
Oh, Clint.
Clint
Curtis. Hey,
like
Clint.
Eastwood.
They put Kent on there. How you doing, buddy? Good to hear from you.
Very good. How you doing?
Well, I've been all right. You know, fun never stops, as my friend Mark Kent says. And no one's hurt me yet today, but it's still early. Anyway, what say you, sir? What's on your mind?
Well, basically, I called in for the show. I wanted to talk about the fact that there's a possibility that all this will be solved because Trump will be paying attention to it and moving to get it on a national level. So just wanted to get people to write the administration and remind them to do that so that the rumors I hear become true.
Okay, well, so...
What are you hearing?
Well, first, Clint, this is Patrick Jones.
There you go.
Good hearing from you.
Hello
again.
There. How you doing, sir?
Hey, very good. And, sure wish you were a resident of Shasta County right about now. I know me and Supervisor Kellstrom really wanted to get you there, and it was unfortunate what occurred in the boardroom on that day. But you have a long history a long history of election and election problems. You understand the issues that we have. And, you know, it's unfortunate that so many people do not understand that we have not had elections for a long time. We've had selections for a long time, and you know very much about that.
About 20 years now.
Yeah, and so it's... I've always said it's going to get fixed as more and more people like yourself come forward. Now we have a president that very much knows the problem. So I am excited about this year, and I hope to see you in Shasta County in the future.
Well, sounds good. I'd be glad to do it.
Hey, Clint, on another issue, you know, we had these time changes on our 2023 or 2024 primary where we had the clocks moving backwards and forwards from exactly 30 or exactly 1 minute to hours to 6 hours, 24 hours, 23 hours backwards and forwards so that you can't reproduce what occurred. And you as a programmer, is that not a classic operation to cover your tracks from being able to properly audit an election?
Absolutely. If you destroy the log, what are you going to audit?
And
that doesn't happen by someone hacking in, because people don't hack in as accurately as a program does. So if your numbers are a minute apart, 2 minutes apart, absolutely equal every time, it's not a person.
Clint, I have a question for you. In Section 4 of the Article 1, Section 4 of the United States Constitution, it states that the time, places, and manner of holding elections for the senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. But Congress, not the President, not President Trump, that means the House and the Senate, but Congress may at any time by law make or alter such regulations except as to the places of choosing senators. Now, the question I have with that is that in the Constitution, even though, you know, we would want President Trump to step in and do all this stuff, he really doesn't have the jurisdiction to do it. It's really the Senate and the House. So how is that looking in what you've seen out there? How's that looking to you as far as the Senate and the House wanting to make the correct changes?
What I have heard is that President Trump is thinking about developing a Department of Elections, not just the one they have now, which is basically rubber stamps machines, but one that actually goes out and investigates these things, gives you the best practices to do it, and hopefully will turn it to a hand count system altogether. And if that happens, and the state and the Senate and the House, which are also Republican and seem to be pretty much under Trump's control, if they will actually pass that for all federal elections, it would be real suspicious if the state decided to hold something completely different for your municipalities and your state elections while the feds are forcing them to do it another way for all federal elections.
Well, I want to offer up Shasta County.
Tie them up.
I want to offer up Shasta County as the first one if they're going to do it. I want it to be on public record that we're offering Shasta County as the first one, as the guinea pig, whatever, to come in and fix it.
And Clint, you're very familiar.
Guinea pig will be.
You're very familiar, Clint, with
the guinea pig. It's all tested.
There you go.
You know, across the country, almost in all counties, we have three proprietary software systems, which is ES&S, Hart, and Dominion. And you're forced in California. You're forced to use one of those three. LA has a different system, but for the most part, you have to use one of those three systems, and that's very similar across the country. Can you tell us what happened in the 2022 primary in Texas when you started looking at all those counties? Can you give us that? Can you give us a quick story on that?
Oh, you probably want the one down 22.
In 2022, correct?
It was 22. Congressional District 22 in 2022, and at 8:34 p.m., because the independent was actually trying to screen grab all the counties, so he grabbed them purely by accident, but at 8:34 p.m., every county had exactly the same number of votes for the Democrat and the independent. Exactly the same number, not the same percentage, exactly the same number. There's 510 votes for the Democrat, there's 510 votes for the Republican.
And there were multiple machines.
That software being manipulated, that's doing the math. It didn't even have to happen down there because it's a Republican county. So the Republican is a R plus 7, I believe. So no one had to cheat. Didn't make any sense to cheat. There's a county down there with 64 people in it. The whole county only has 64 people. And that same pattern occurred in that county as occurred across those other seven. It went across two different vendors and eight different counties, and all happened at exactly 8:34 p.m.
And that
went planned with something that's a little bigger than just the machine.
And that went to court, and the judge would not accept any of that evidence. Is that correct?
No, no one's going to look at anything. You know how that works.
Right.
Basically, what you have to prove is you have to prove that you can find enough votes to change the election. But you have to do it without any discovery, and you have to do it without being able to actually look at anything, and you have to do it within 30 days.
Right, right.
So with that...
Impossible.
With that, my
President
friend...
President Trump couldn't do it. He was running for president.
It's always great hearing from you, Clint. We've only got about 3 minutes left, but great hearing from you. I'll give you a call, and maybe you can come on the program. We'd love to... hear what you've been up to, but also what news you have for us. So maybe we can schedule an interview here soon.
Sounds good, sir. We'll do it.
All right, my friend. Thank you so much.
You know, and I'm going to comment against Richard's comments earlier, and Richard's done a ton of work in the background on elections, and so I thank him for all his work. I mean, we're talking years and hundreds of hours of work on elections, and so I do appreciate that. However, asking the public to take the ROV as an elected position and have that appointed by the board would go over like a lead brick. It would never happen. The public is very adamant about electing the ROV. And so I would differ with him on that, and I would never recommend to the board to even propose such a that. The public would see that and would be very upset at the board for even attempting to put that on the ballot. They would take great offense to it.
Yeah, I think that's what we saw in that election result, and that's what I was also trying to tell Rich, is that we had an election about that, and that's the way the people voted. Yeah. We didn't have an opinion here, at least as hosts. We don't have an opinion one way or another how that would really look. Now, if I could use my opinion, and when, what would you think? Would you want to select your ROV, or would you want to vote for him?
Oh, election every day.
Janet?
Of course I want people to elect.
Okay, well, there you go. Now all three of us are saying that, but we weren't saying it before. But now that you bring it up, Patrick, I think that's really the way to go. Chris, we got about 3 minutes. You got the last word, buddy. Shoot away.
Well, he mentioned the lowest common denominator, the lowest form would be the Board of Supervisors. No, the lowest level and the most powerful level is we the people. So, again, I would be all for remaining an elected official at the ROV.
You know, and the fact of the matter is we made a bad pick. I mean, we can admit that.
Well, he didn't do what he said he was going to do.
Right, and we trusted someone, and,
right.
You know, I've made bad picks before. We move on. You know, when you get knocked off the horse, you pick yourself up, go to the hospital possibly, and get back on the horse, and that's what we have to do here. We made a bad pick. We'll have to fix it. We're going to fix it. We will fix it.
There you go.
Well, with that, I want to... Thank you, Chris, for everything you're doing out there. Keep the fight going. And Patrick.
Amen. We've got your back.
You know, yeah, you bet. We have your six,
back.
Man. And, you know, Patrick and Lori, you guys are, this is going to be a lot of fun because we'd like to have you come in, share some things with us as you can. And only the way that you do, my friend, only the way you can share them.
I have a few stories.
I believe that.
I want to have a program in which we all go down to Southern California and have a re-registration campaign to re-register from Democrat to Republican. I'll bet there are a lot of people right now who are sorry they voted
blue.
Oh,
boy.
Oh, yeah?
You can believe that.
Well, when some of these actors come on TV and they're saying exactly that.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Yeah. They said they screwed up their party.
Yeah.
The party,
yeah. We tried to tell you. You wouldn't listen. Maybe you'll hear us now.
Maybe you'll hear us now.
Think you're feeling the heat?
Every which way, yeah.
Well, and... You know, and lastly, just before we end, because I know our time's short here, just, you know, we pray for everyone in Southern California with the fires. We've lived through those things, same things here. We lived through that every summer here in Shasta County, the threat of a major fire, and they're experiencing exactly what we have already experienced. And until we start cleaning up this vegetation, because that, you know, we can't control the terrain, we can't control the winds, but we can control the fuels, and that should be a priority going forward.
And they can control their water holding facilities because it was empty, so they should have had water there.
Well, time has come
for 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
From Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.